Amen. All right, well, we're there in 1 Kings chapter number 4. And of course, we've been going through a Bible study on Wednesday nights, going verse by verse through 1 Kings. And tonight we are continuing our Bible study and we are ending chapter 4. We've already gone through the first 21 verses in chapter 4. And so tonight we're going to cover the last 22, verses 22 through 34. And what we see in this passage is really just a snapshot of the prosperity of Solomon's kingdom. And it's really the prosperity at its peak. And of course, Solomon was the most successful of all the kings of the nation of Israel. And that's what's highlighted in this portion of scripture. And I want to move through it quickly and just kind of point out some things for you and then give you some application points here at the end. And we don't have to spend too much time with it, but I'd like to highlight for you just six aspects of the prosperity of Solomon, six things that God kind of highlights for us in this passage. And if you're taking notes, then maybe you want to jot some of these things down. The first thing I'd like you to notice is that we see Solomon's provision. In verse 22, the Bible says, and Solomon's provision, and of course, the word provision is talking about food. It's talking about what's provided in order to feed. I want you to notice what the Bible says here, and this is highlighted because there's so much of it. It says Solomon's provision for one day was 30 measures of fine flour and 80 measures of meal and 10 fat oxen. So, you know, you might not be familiar with and what the Bible says, you know, and we don't know for sure exactly the size of a measure. Obviously, there's educated guesses out there. Even if you know that, you might not be able to really visualize 30 measures of fine flour and 80, that's of course 60 measures of meal. That sounds like a lot. But consider this, verse 23, 10 fat oxen. And so we're talking about 10 oxen that are being killed and people are eating, not once a month, not once a week, but if you go to verse 22, again it says, and Solomon's provision for one day. So this is what's being consumed in one day. 30 measures of fine flour, 80 measures of meal, 10 fat oxen, and 20 oxen out of the pastures, and 100 sheep, besides harts and roebuck and fallow deer and fatted fowl. So there's 30 measures of fine flour, 60 measures of meal, 10 fat oxen, 20 pasture oxen, 100 sheep plus deer and roebuck and fatted fowl that's also being killed. And this is all being consumed. This is Solomon's provision. And the reason that God puts this in the Bible is because obviously it's an extreme amount. And it's just showing the prosperity of Solomon's kingdom, that this is what is being consumed by his household in one day. We see prosperity seen in daily provision and supply. So we see that Solomon obviously is feeding a lot of people. He's not just eating all this himself. This is a big household. This is a big staff. The idea is that there's a lot of moving parts here. They're being fed and he's taking care of them. Obviously, Solomon's also hosting a lot of people. We're going to see that people are coming to see him. Of course, the Queen of Sheba famously comes to see him. And when these different kings and queens come to see Solomon, they bring entourages with them. So a lot of people are being fed. And then, of course, with this amount of food, it's possible that Solomon is feeding the populace as well. Maybe not the entire city of Jerusalem, but a good portion of the city of Jerusalem might be being fed by him as well. So we see that God is highlighting Solomon's provision as part of his prosperity. And this is something that we should consider here in the United States of America because we have a lot of food, and that is a result of the blessing of God. Not all nations have as much access to food as we do, and not all people throughout history have had access to food like we do, and we should just be mindful of that. It's very normal for us to go to the grocery store and see a lot of food. We have cupboards filled with food and refrigerators, and many households even have two refrigerators, their main one, and then one in the garage or a freezer in the garage or something like that. But this is all a sign of God's prosperity, the blessing of the Lord, his provision upon our lives. And for us, you know, it's hard to we're used to it. But remember, Jesus taught the disciples to pray, give us this day our daily bread. So throughout human history, there have been people that woke up every day not knowing exactly where their meals were going to come from. But that's not the case for us, and that's not the case for Solomon. We see that Solomon had a great provision. But then I want you to notice in verse 24, in verses 22 and 23, we see Solomon's provision. In verse 24, we see Solomon's power. Notice verse 24. The Bible says, "For he," this is Solomon, "had dominion." The word dominion means to rule. It comes from the same word that we would use, dominate. He had dominion, notice what the Bible says, over all the region on this side, the river, from Tipsah even to Azah, over all the kings on this side, the river, and he had peace on all sides round about him. So it's highlighted here that not only do we see Solomon's provision, but we see Solomon's power. The Bible says that he had dominion over all the region, and he has dominion over other kingdoms. It says over all the kings on this side of the river. So we see that his prosperity is not only seen in the daily provision and the supplies that he had, but it's seen by the extended influence and authority that Solomon had. And then in verses, the last part there, verse 24, and into verse 25, I want you to notice that we see Solomon's peace. Notice the last part of verse 24. He had peace on all sides round about him, and Judah and Israel dwelt safely. Notice the words here, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, from Dan even to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. So what's highlighted is not only his provision, not only his power, but also the peace. The Bible says that he had peace on all sides. So this is a time of prosperity and a time of peace. The Bible says that Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree. And that phrase speaks to personal ownership of property, but also it speaks about safety and security, that no one's afraid that an invading kingdom's going to come and raid them or take them away. This is a time where we see prosperity is seen in national safety and personal security. You know, we often talk about the fact that the United States of America has been blessed by the Lord. Obviously, we know that this was once more of a Christian nation than it is now. But the same things that we see in Solomon's kingdoms are the things that we see in our nation. We have provision. Our nation has a lot of power. We live in peace, and by and large, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, we are dwelling in safety in this country. Notice that we also see in verses 26 through 28, Solomon's protection. And what we see is a description of his military. The Bible says there in verse 26, "And Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen." So we see stalls of horses, and we see that he has chariots. We see that he has horsemen, verse 27. "And those officers provided victuals for the king, for King Solomon, and for all that came unto King Solomon's table." So again, there's an emphasis there of lots of people are coming to Solomon, and they're being fed every man in his own month. They, notice the words here, they lacked nothing. And these are words that speak to prosperity. Everyone's fed. Everyone's being taken care of. Verse 28, "Barley also and straw for the horses and the dromedaries brought they unto the palace where the officers were, every man according to his charge." So we see that the Bible says they lack nothing, 40,000 horse stalls and chariots, 12,000 horsemen, all these officers. We talked about the officers last week. The Bible says they lack nothing, and even the animals are cared for. Barley also and straw for the horses and dromedaries. So everybody's being taken care of. Everybody's well fed. Prosperity is seen here in military strength and logistical excellence. They're able to get this food distributed. It goes where it needs to go. Everything's organized. Everything's good. So we see Solomon's provision and his power and his peace and his protection through military. And then I want you to notice in verses 29 through 31, we see Solomon's prudence. And of course, prudence is just another word for wisdom. And we've already highlighted this in the life of Solomon, but notice it's highlighted again. Verse 29, the Bible says, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding," notice the words here, "exceeding exceeding much." So he has a lot of wisdom and understanding, more than normal. It's a supernatural thing, exceeding much. The Bible says, and largeness of heart. And that statement, you know, people debate what that means necessarily, but most people agree that it has to do with his capacity, the ability that Solomon was able to deal with this. I mean, he's got a lot of people to feed. He's got a lot of people looking to him to make decisions. And that takes, of course, a strain on an individual. But God not only gave him wisdom and understanding, he gave him largeness of heart. He gave him the ability to be able to have the heart and the emotions needed to deal with all of these moving parts, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And of course, that's a statement going back to the Abrahamic covenant. If you remember, God promised Abraham that he would give him a seed that would be like the stars of heaven. Of course, we know that's referring to a spiritual seed, New Jerusalem and Christianity, but also as the sand which is on the seashore. And sometimes people ask the question, well, when the Abrahamic covenant, you know, they'll say it's not yet been fulfilled, so it's going to have to be fulfilled someday. But here we see that this is a time when the Bible says that the nation of Israel was as the sand of the seashore. They're in the land, they're prospering, they're conquering. This is very much a fulfillment of what God already promised Abraham earlier, of course, in the Bible. Notice verse 30, and Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country. So now God is making a point because, of course, these ancient lands had their own wise men, had their own wise people. We see that as we read the Bible in Egypt and in Babylon, that these kings would often call the wise men of their realms. And of course, we even know from history that there was people that were writing laws and writing poetry and doing these types of things, even in the ancient world. But here the Bible tells us that the wisdom of Solomon excelled all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. Notice verse 31, for he was wiser than all men. So there's an emphasis here that he was wiser than all men. All the wise men of his time, all of the smart men of his time. The Bible tells us he was wiser than all of them. Notice verse 31, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all nations round about. So here God not only tells us that he's wiser than all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt, but then he actually names individuals. He's comparing Solomon to certain individuals of that time that were known for wisdom, and he's saying he's wiser than them. He's wiser than Ethan the Ezrahite. And some of these are not bad people. Ethan the Ezrahite, you may not recognize that name, but you've probably heard the writings of Ethan the Ezrahite, because in Psalm 89, in verse 1, the superscription of Psalm 89 tells us Maskil of Ethan the Ezrahite. So Ethan the Ezrahite's actually the author of Psalm 89. So you may not recognize his name. You probably would recognize his writing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. That's Psalm 89, verse 1. That was written by Ethan the Ezrahite. And here the Bible tells us in 1 Kings 4:31 that Solomon was wiser than Ethan the Ezrahite. And Ethan the Ezrahite's a good guy. He's writing scripture, but Solomon's wiser. And then it tells us, and Heman. And again, we don't know this for sure, but Psalm 88 tells us that it's written by a man named Heman the Ezrahite. So God is comparing Solomon to not only worldly wisdom, the children of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt, but also to believers of the nation of Israel. And he says he's wiser than all men. So we see that there's prosperity, the provision, the power, the peace, the protection, the prudence. And then we see, notice verse 32. The Bible here documents for us the writings of Solomon. It says, and he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. And he spake also of beasts and of fowls and of creeping things and of fishes. So Solomon's just a wise person. He's a smart guy. He's an intellectual. He's able to talk about trees and about beasts and fowls and creeping things and fishes. He just talks about these things, knows these things, gives facts about these things. The Bible tells us he wrote 3,000 Proverbs. I don't know how many Proverbs there are in the book of Proverbs, which was written by Solomon, but I don't think there's 3,000 Proverbs in the book of Proverbs, so we don't probably have all of the Proverbs that he wrote, but we've got the book of Proverbs that was written by Solomon. Also, it tells us that he's a songwriter. His songs were 1,005. He wrote 1,005 songs, and of course, he had one great hit, which is the Song of Solomon, which is also scripture, also written by Solomon. But here, God is highlighting just the wisdom of this man, the prosperity of this man, and then notice the promotion of this man. And if you go back to the last part of verse 31, it says, "And his fame was in all nations round about." So everyone knows about Solomon. Everyone hears about Solomon. His fame was in all nations round about. Verse 34 says, "And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth, which which had heard of his wisdom." So we see that his fame is in all nations, and kings and people are coming from far off. People hear about Solomon's wisdom, and they come, they make a journey to come see him. And what do they want to see? Well, they want to see all the success. They want to see the provisions and the power, the peace, the protection. But they also want to learn about the prudence. They want to hear the wisdom of Solomon. They came, the Bible says, verse 34, "And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon." Real quickly, just flip over to 1 Kings chapter 10. Look at verse 7. Here we're told that all people came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. He had a lot of guests from all kings of the earth, the Bible tells us. But probably the most famous of his guests is found in 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 7. 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse number 7, the Bible says, and of course this is the Queen of Sheba. In 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 7, the Bible says there, "Howbeit, I believe not the words," this is the Queen of Sheba speaking to Solomon. She says, "Howbeit, I believe not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me." Notice what she says here. "Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard." So the emphasis here with Solomon and the emphasis of his kingdom, what's trying to be explained to us is the measure of his prosperity and the fact that it's seen through his provision and his power, his peace, his protection, his prudence, his promotion, his fame was in all nations round about. There came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth. And it's a pretty amazing thing. And I want to speak to you. Of course, we went through that, but I want to show you some things about this thing about prosperity, because that's what's highlighted here in this passage. And let me just give you some thoughts with regards to prosperity. You're there in 1 Kings chapter 10. Flip over to 2 Kings chapter 18, if you wouldn't mind. 1 Kings chapter 18. And while you turn there, let me just give you some thoughts with regards to prosperity. Usually when we think, or when human beings think of the subject of prosperity, what we think of is money and fame and luxury. When we think of people that are prosperous, those are the thoughts that people have with regards to prosperity. But what the Bible teaches about prosperity is that the Bible defines prosperity as God's blessing and as success in God's purposes and as the evidence of God's presence. Now, with that, of course, can come fame and can come money and all of that. We see that in Solomon's life, but that's not what's highlighted with regards to prosperity in the Bible. It's not about money and fame and luxury. It's about God's favor. It's about God's blessing. It's about success in God's purposes. It's about seeing the evidence of God. And when I think prosperity in the Bible, I talked about this on Sunday morning, but I'll bring it up now. You're there in 2 Kings, so you don't have to turn here, but let me just read to you from Genesis. I think of Joseph. Because, you know, today when people teach on prosperity, especially Christians, when they teach on the subject of prosperity, the big teaching is this idea of the prosperity gospel. And the prosperity gospel is often taught by, I don't know who teaches it, charismatics and Pentecostals and I think people of that nature. But the prosperity gospel is this idea that when you, they call it the prosperity gospel because it's this idea that when you get saved, then God's going to prosper you and God's going to make you rich. This idea of name it and claim it, you just name it in prayer and God's going to get it for you. And you just, you know, if you sow a seed of $1,000, you're going to have 100-fold come back to you. And all of that nonsense, because look, the Bible doesn't teach that just because you got saved, God's going to prosper you and God's going to favor you and God's going to bless you. That's not found in Scripture at all. However, what we have to remember is that there's always a little bit of truth in false teaching and in false lies. And the little bit of truth is this, that the Bible does talk a lot about prosperity. And prospering is something that the Bible talks about. And they take it out of context and they'll teach this prosperity gospel. There's no prosperity gospel. But I will say this, there seems to be a bit of a prosperity discipleship that the Bible teaches. And this idea, not that if you get saved, God's going to prosper you, but if you walk with the Lord, and if the Lord is with you, that God's going to prosper you. In Genesis 39 and verse 2, here's what the Bible says about Joseph. It says, and the Lord was with Joseph. Notice the emphasis is that the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. So what I like about Joseph is that it disproves the prosperity gospel because he wasn't prosperous because he was saved. He was prosperous because the Lord was with Joseph. Now, of course, he was saved. The Lord was with Joseph because he was saved. But it's more than that. Joseph was walking with God. He was walking with the Lord. The Lord was with Joseph. What I also like about the story of Joseph with regards to prosperity is that it shows you that God can prosper you and you still go through difficulty. Because Joseph, when the Bible tells us that the Lord was with him and he was a prosperous man, it says in Genesis 39:2, and the Lord was with Joseph and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So it tells us when the Lord's with him and when he's prospering, he's also enslaved. He's in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Genesis 39:3 says, and his master, which means that he was enslaved, saw that the Lord was with him, with Joseph, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So the Lord is with him. The Lord is making everything prosper in his hand, but he's a slave. Genesis 39:23 says, and the keeper of the prison. So now he's not a slave. He's in shackles. Look not to anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So what we learn from Joseph is this, that God can be with you and God can be prospering even while you're going through difficulty. Even his brothers sold him into slavery, but the Lord was with him and the Lord was prospering him. Potiphar's wife lied about him and got him falsely accused and thrown into prison. But the Lord was with him and the Lord was prospering him. So the Bible does teach this idea of prosperity, but it's not exactly the same prosperity that Kenneth Copeland teaches or that, you know, Benny Hinn teaches or whatever. It's not this idea that you're never going to go through trials, you're never going to go through tribulation. All Christians are going to go through difficult times, but the Lord can favor you and be with you even through those times. Now, you're there in 2 Kings chapter 18. We highlighted Solomon's prosperity, but what I want you to understand is that that was not an accident. His prosperity was a direct result of how Solomon started his reign. And what I want to do just for a few moments tonight is give you three thoughts from the kings of Israel with regards to how to prosperity. Because you may be wondering, and I'm curious, you know, how can we get God's God-given prosperity in our lives? Because God is not a respecter of persons. If he did it for Solomon, he can do it for us. Now, he's probably not going to do it to the same extent for you and for me as he did for Solomon or as he did for Joseph. But if he did it for them, he can do it for us. He wants to do it for us. So does the Bible tell us, because the Bible has a lot of verses about prosperity and prospering, but does the Bible highlight how we can have that prosperity and how we can prosper? And I want to just show you tonight, just real quickly tonight, three thoughts with regards to how can we have God-given prosperity in our lives. And let me just highlight these for you just as application tonight. Number one, if you want to jot this down, we can prosper by following God's word. We can prosper by following God's word. You're there in 2 Kings chapter 18. Look at verse number 5. Notice what the Bible says in 2 Kings 18 verse 5. It says, he, and the he there is King Hezekiah, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. Notice what it says in verse 6. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him. And all of those are great things. You know, he trusted in the Lord. And the Bible says he clave to the Lord. He departed not from following him. And we like those statements. Those are good statements. He sought the Lord. He clave to the Lord. He departed not from following him. Those are all good things. But we want to get something practical, right? What does that mean? What does that look like to trust in the Lord, to cleave to the Lord, to depart not from following him? And the Bible tells us there in verse 6, it says, but kept his commandments. So we see that the way that Hezekiah trusted in the Lord is that he kept his commandments. The way that he clave to the Lord is that he kept his commandments. The way that he departed not from following him is that he kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded him, verse 7, and the Lord was with him. Isn't that what it said about Joseph? So it's true about Joseph in the prison, and it's true about Hezekiah in the palace. The Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. Now look, wouldn't you want this in your life? And I want this in my life. Wouldn't you want it to be said of your life that the Lord was with him and he prospered whithersoever he went forth? Wherever he went, whatever he did, the Lord was with him and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. We want that said of us, but that was said of Joseph, but that whithersoever he went forth included prison and included slavery. But it says the same thing about these men. The Lord was with him. He prospered. Why? The Bible tells us because Hezekiah was following God's word. He kept his commandments. And this is something that's highlighted for us in Scripture. You don't have to turn here. I'll just read these verses for you if you want to jot them down for your notes. Deuteronomy 29:9 says, keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all that ye do. God actually promised through Moses in Deuteronomy that if the children of Israel were to keep the words of this covenant and do them, that they would prosper in all that they do. Joshua 1, 7 and 8 famously says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The Bible teaches that we can prosper by following God's word. So how did Hezekiah prosper? He prospered because he kept his commandments. How did Solomon prosper? Well, he prospered because he kept the commandments of God, because he kept the word of God. And look, the Bible says that you and I have access, and in fact, we could make the argument, and it would be the right argument, that we have even more access to God's word than Solomon or Hezekiah or Joseph did. And we can prosper in the same way by reading God's word, studying God's word, and of course, most importantly, applying God's word to our lives. I mean, think about this. The Bible says about Solomon that there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth. So kings from all over the earth are making a pilgrimage to the kingdom of Solomon. People from all over the earth are coming. They're caravanning. They're taking time off of work. They're spending time away from their home. And of course, they're not getting on planes and trains to get there. They're traveling by foot. They're traveling by beast. It's taken a long time to get there. Why are they going there? So that they can hear the wisdom of Solomon. Here's what's funny is that you and I have the wisdom of Solomon. We literally have books in the Bible written by Solomon, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. These are things that people traveled hundreds of miles to go hear from Solomon. You've got it on your lap. Amen. And you and I can just open it and read it. and learn from it, and you say, well, you know, maybe I should start reading the proverb of the day. You know, I think that's a good idea. But you know what's interesting is that the Bible says that these people came all the way to hear Solomon's wisdom, to hear his proverbs. He had 3,000 proverbs. They came to get all this knowledge and this wisdom from Solomon. You and I, we've got his greatest hits, right? We don't have all 3,000 proverbs, and we don't have 1,005 songs, but we've got the best song, Song of Solomon, because it's in Scripture. It's the Holy Spirit is the one that gave it to Solomon. We've got the book of Proverbs. We've got the book of Ecclesiastes. You say, well, maybe I should spend my time reading Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon. And I'm not, you should. I think that's a good idea. But you know what's interesting is that in the New Testament, the Bible talks about the Queen of Sheba, and the Lord Jesus Christ brought up the fact that the Queen of Sheba came all the way to Solomon to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And here's what the New Testament says about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ said about himself that a greater than Solomon is here. So you say, well, I should read the book of Proverbs because kings of the earth traveled all over the world to go hear the Solomon, the wisdom of Proverbs. Yes, you should read the Proverbs, but you should also read the Gospels. Because the Gospels are about someone that's even greater and wiser than Solomon. And here's the thing, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Word of God. We should just read the whole thing. Because we can prosper when we read the Word of God. We can prosper by following God's Word. And God, look, here's the encouraging part, is that God is no respecter of persons. And no matter where you go, no matter where I go, no matter where you end up in life, and if you go through difficulties, and if you go through hard times, if you get sold into slavery and moved around and get lied about and thrown in prison, all of that may happen to you, but you can still have the Lord be with you, and He can prosper you by following God's Word. So we see the first thing is that we can prosper by following God's Word. And the application is this, that prosperity follows obedience to God's Word. And if we would just obey it, and that's the hard part, right? That's the part that we just seem to continuously fail at. But if we would obey it, God would prosper us. So number one, we can prosper by following God's Word. But let me give you a second thought. You're there in 2 Kings 18. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 if you don't mind. You're there in 2 Kings. You go past 1 Chronicles into 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Not only can we prosper by following God's Word, but let me just highlight this for you as well. We can also prosper by taking heed to biblical preaching. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 20, the Bible says, "And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth," here's another king, Jehoshaphat. So we saw Solomon. We're kind of highlighting the good kings of Israel, the ones that God blessed. We have Solomon. We saw Hezekiah in 2 Kings 18. Here we see Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem." Here's what Jehoshaphat said. "Believe in the Lord your God." Isn't that what it said about Hezekiah? That he trusted in the Lord. That's the same idea. Believe in the Lord. And again, how do they do this? Through God's Word. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." That's how we are blessed by God. Here Jehoshaphat says to Jerusalem, "Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established." But then notice what he says here. He says, "Believe as prophets, so shall ye prosper." So not only do we see that Hezekiah prospered because he kept his commandments, it's one thing to go to Solomon and to go to the one that's greater than Solomon, the Word of God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, and read it and learn it and study it and apply it to your life. That's one way. But another way, which is really the same thing, just in a different format, you can be prospered by believing his prophets. And of course, the idea here is that when someone stands up and they're preaching the Word of God to you, then you can prosper by taking heed to biblical preaching. Amen. Ezra chapter 6 and verse 14 says, and the, you don't have to turn here, I'll just read this for you. It says, "And the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo." So the Bible tells us that the Jews
during Ezra's time, as they were building the temple, it says that they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. What does that tell us? It tells us that we can prosper by following God's word, but it tells us that we can prosper by taking heed to biblical preaching. And the point is this, that the reason that you and I should, the Bible says in the New Testament, we should despise not prophesying. Amen. What does that mean? It means that when it's preaching time, you ought to pay attention. Amen. That when the word of God is being preached, whoever's preaching, whether it's me, or whether it's Deacon Oliver, or whether it's one of the godly men that will preach behind this pulpit from time to time, whenever the Word of God is being opened, we ought to pay attention. We ought to have our hearts ready, like the Bible says about the Bereans, that they receive the Word with all readiness of mind and search the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. We should be ready to hear God's Word. Look, when the preaching of God's Word is going on, you shouldn't be messing around on your phone. When the preaching of God's word is going on, you shouldn't be, you know, outside of the auditorium talking and fellowshipping. When the preaching of God's word is going on, you shouldn't be running over across the street to Starbucks or to the gas station or whatever. When the preaching of the word of God is going on, the Bible says we should not despise prophesying. And God says if you would take heed to biblical preaching, it could prosper you. He said, well, I read the Bible, so why do I need the preaching? Here's why. Because you don't know everything. And isn't it true that a lot of times when the Word of God is preached, you could read something at home, and you should, but then you hear it preached, and you're like, wow, I never saw it that way. Or I never understood that. Or someone else connected something and connected some dots, and that can help you, and that might be the key that you need in order to prosper. So look, I'm just saying to you, every day that you and I wake up, we don't have to get in a chariot and travel to Solomon's kingdom to hear the words of Solomon. We can open up the Word of God, and we can literally hear the words of Solomon by reading Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon, or we could hear someone even greater than Solomon by reading the Gospels and the rest of the Bible, and that is an opportunity for us to prosper by following God's Word. But also, when the Word of God is preached, that's an opportunity for you to say, Lord, and honestly, and look, I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying, when's the last time you came to church and your prayer was, Lord, speak to me through the preaching of God's word? Instead of, you know, saying, I hope this is entertaining, or I hope he's funny, or I hope he tells a joke, or I hope he tells a story, or I hope it doesn't take too long. When's the last time you said, Lord, I'm here. I'm ready to receive from your word. Speak to me through your word. This is similar to prosperity follows obedience to God's word. This is similar, but the point is this. Don't just hear it, do it. Don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer also. So we can prosper by following God's word. We can prosper by taking heed to biblical preaching. Look, here's all I'm saying is, when the preaching of God's word is going on, you ought to be in your seat, Bible open, paying attention. Y'all not be taking a smoke break out front. I hope no one's doing that, but you know what I mean. You should be engaged in the preaching of God's word, because God says he can prosper you through God's preaching. The Bible says that they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And Jehoshaphat said, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. So number one, we can prosper by following God's word. Number two, we can prosper by taking heed to biblical preaching. And then number three tonight, and this is the last one, go to 2 Chronicles 31 if you don't mind. 2 Chronicles 31, here we're going to see Hezekiah again, but this time from 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 31, and verse 20, the Bible says, and thus did Hezekiah through all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. Verse 21. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law and in the commandments, notice the words here, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. Now I want you to notice what's highlighted here. It's highlighted that He, the Bible says, to seek his God. It says he did it with all his heart and prospered. But I want you to notice the first part of verse 21. it says, and in every work that he began in the service, notice the emphasis here, of the house of God. So how does the Bible tell us we can prosper? It tells us that we can prosper by following God's word. It tells us that we can prosper by taking heed to biblical preaching. But it also tells us that we can prosper by prioritizing the house of God. It's interesting to me that two of the kings that are, well, not two of the kings, a lot of the kings that are prospering and blessed of the Lord, they also emphasize the house of God. You know, think about it. Who's the most prosperous king of the nation of Israel that ever lived? We've been studying him. It's Solomon, right? Solomon's the most prosperous king. We just saw a chapter about, I mean, just how much it took to feed the whole staff. He's very prosperous. What is Solomon known for? He builds a temple. Here we see that Hezekiah, very prosperous. What does God highlight? That in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, so it highlights that he was working and he was prioritizing the house of God. That's how he was seeking his God, and that's how he prospered. Think about Josiah. Josiah's also prospering and bless the Lord. What is he doing? He's remodeling the house of the Lord. There's this idea that when people prioritize the house of God, that God will bless you. Look, the idea is this, that when you put God's house and God's work first, he blesses your house and your work. You know, the Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You say, I want God to bless my house. Then you prioritize his house, he'll bless your house. I want God to bless my work. You prioritize his work, he'll bless your work. When we have prioritized the house of God and the word of God and the preaching of God's word, these are ways that the Bible tells us that these kings in the Old Testament are prospered, and God is no respecter of persons. God can prosper you and God can prosper me in the same way. Now, here's what's interesting. You're there in 2 Chronicles 31. Flip back to 2 Chronicles 24. Let me just give you a couple concluding thoughts. When we follow God's word, take heed to biblical preaching, and prioritize the house of God, right? That's what Hezekiah did. He prioritized the house of God. That's why I think it's important to be faithful to the house of God, be faithful to church, find somewhere to serve in church, get involved, do something. Why? Because when you prioritize God's house and God's work, God will prioritize your house and your work. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And look, we've got to seek him first. He comes first. Then in all things, he should have the preeminence. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then the Bible says, and all these things shall be added unto you. And look, the idea is this, that we have to seek the Lord. That we have to go after God. But I don't want to just get up here and tell you, like, seek the Lord, go after God. You know, those are all good things. Don't misunderstand me. But let's get practical. What does that mean? It means that when you wake up tomorrow morning and you open up your Bible and you read it, that's seeking the Lord. When you make an emphasis of the house of God and the work of God, when you show up and you serve in some capacity, maybe it's cleaning the building, maybe it's playing an instrument, maybe it's as an usher or a safety team member, you're prioritizing the work of God, you're prioritizing the house of God. Here you are on a Wednesday night, you're in God's house, you could have done a million other things, but you chose to be in God's house. Now you are prioritizing the house of God, and he's going to prioritize your house, you prioritize his work, he's going to prioritize your work. You know, what's interesting to me is that oftentimes we put the emphasis in our house and our work and want God to bless it, but God says, no, you got to seek first the kingdom of God. And when we prioritize the preaching of God's word and we pay attention, these are all things that God says that he can bless us with, and that's how we seek the Lord. You know, the book of Hebrews says that without faith, because remember what Hezekiah said? He said, trust in the Lord. Remember what it said about Jehoshaphat? He said, believe the Lord. Hebrews says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Talking about God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, but listen to these words, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. And do you believe that? Do you believe that God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him? That's what the Bible says. And that's what we see in the life of Joseph. That's what we see in the life of Hezekiah. That's what we see in the life of Jehoshaphat and Josiah and Solomon and all these and Ezra and all these great men of God. That's what we see in their lives. So look, you and I need to realize that's a New Testament verse telling you that God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The question is, are we seeking Him? So we've got to seek the Lord. Now here's the thing. Are you there in 2 Chronicles 24? In order to have God's blessing and favor and prosperity, we need to obey His word, take heed to biblical preaching, prioritize His house. When we do the opposite of obeying God's word, taking heed to biblical preaching, and prioritizing the house of God, then we're going to get the opposite of prosperity. Are you there in 2 Chronicles 24, look at verse 20? And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people and said unto them, notice what Zechariah here, the Spirit of God comes upon Zechariah, here's what he says. Thus saith God, let me read that properly. Thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord? But I want you to notice the statement here, the question, that ye cannot prosper. So we've seen verses that say, when you follow the commandments of the Lord, you can prosper. Here he's asking them, don't you know when you transgress the commandments of the Lord that ye cannot prosper? And here's the big takeaway, that the Lord can help us, but the Lord can also hinder us. The Lord can favor us, but the Lord can also cause us to fail. So when we are following God's word, we know what the Bible says, and we're actually doing it. God says, I'll favor you, I'll help you, I'll bless you. When we're taking heed to the preaching of God's word, when we're prioritizing the house of God and seeking first the kingdom of God and realizing that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, God says, I'll help you and I'll favor you. But when we're not seeking Him, when we're not reading His word, when we're not listening to the preaching, when we're not prioritizing the house of God, then the Bible says that ye cannot prosper. You get something that's the opposite of that. You don't get help, you get hindrance. You don't get favor, you get failure. So why not get on the prosperity side? The old preachers used to say, why not get under the spout where the blessing comes out? If God says, here's how you do it, why not do it? And maybe you've been doing the opposite. And maybe you've been reaping those consequences. But here's the good news is that you can start today to reap in the right direction. You can start today to get in the Word of God. Do all those things that God says He'll bless you for. Why did God bless Solomon? Was it because that God just loves Solomon more than He loves? Now, God did love Solomon. The Bible says that. But did God love Solomon more than He loves you and me? No. God is no respecter of persons. Did God just want to do something, you know, more for Solomon than He wants to do for anyone else? No. Why was Solomon blessed? Can you go back to 1 Kings chapter 2, just real quickly? This is the last verse we'll look at, and we'll be done. 1 Kings chapter 2. In 1 Kings chapter 2, we find David. David is still on the throne. Solomon is just a kid, not the king, not the great, successful king that's having, you know, 10 oxen fed every day, killed every day to feed his household. He's just a young man. But this is what David told him. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 3. This is David speaking to Solomon. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, to keep His statutes and His commandments and His judgments and His testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses. Notice the words that David says to Solomon, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. You say, why did Solomon prosper? Because he did this. He walked in his ways, he kept his statutes, he kept his commandments, he did his judgments, his testimonies. He did what everyone that prospers by the hand of the Lord does. And maybe we should say it this way, at least Solomon did it for a while. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You, and we thank You for Your word, and we thank You for these passages of Scripture that teach us. Lord, I pray You'd help us to just learn that You can help us and You can hinder us, You can favor us, and You can cause us to fail. And we just got to
learn what the Bible says and do it. Take heed to the preaching. Prioritize the things of God. Because he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to seek the Lord and to learn these lessons, to see the story of Solomon as something amazing, yes, but also as a realization that this is available to some extent to all of us if we would do what Solomon did. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to have Brother Andrew come up and lead us in.